Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? If you've been here for the last month, you know where we were headed. Ephesians chapter 6. And as you find that scripture, and as we prepare to read there, you may recall that we've been saying that Ephesians, the entire book, gives us all the resources that we need to live victoriously. Yes, I know there's much in many other of the books, but if you read through Ephesians, it tells you enough to be able to live victoriously. It also tells us not only do we have the ability to live victoriously, but it tells us it's not going to be easy. Amen? How many of you have found the Christian life to be easy so far today? It's been pretty easy today. But if things are going easy, it's just kind of like the weather in Texas. Wait a minute, right? Folks, we need to be understanding by holding on to God's Word and knowing what it tells us. It tells us this life in Christ is not easy. That the Christian life never stops being a war. It doesn't get easier. It may even get more difficult each day. But as we hold on to the Lord, our abilities grow stronger as well. We need to be careful not to quit. That we need to hold on to the Father and not to give up. Why? Because we battle a spiritual enemy, and he uses human beings as pawns, but the pawns that he uses are not our enemy. Amen? We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. In closing his letter, Paul reminds us of two things, and that's where we are today as we prepare to head into verse 10 again and following. Number one, we know this, that any spiritual strength we have is strength found where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Any strength we have is found in God. His life is our life. Amen? His power is our power. And secondly, in order for us to stand against the attack of the enemy, we must put on the armor of God. We must have the armor of God. Would you stand with me in honor of reading Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. It says there, after giving us all the instructions, you remember we talked about those things, that the first three chapters talk about who we are in Christ. The next three chapters talk about how we're to put it into action. And then we come to verse 10 there, and he says, finally. Folks sitting out in the congregation always love when the pastor says that. So I'm going to say it right at the beginning of the sermon. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. We're going to cover through that today. The last time I saw you, I told you I thought we might get into the armor. But I'm going to tell you, I've got to tell you, I did not finish the exegesis of 10 through 13. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to head into the armor the next time we're together. Lord willing. Okay? So I didn't mean to lie to you, but we are going to get into the Word, and I'm going to tell you that today we are going to find a strength and a summation here in verse 13. The Scripture tells us that we need to put on the armor of God. There is such an important concept here. Verse 10 says, be strong, how? In the Lord and in the what? The power of your might, in the power of the might of the church, in the power of the might of the saints, in the power of whom? In the power of our Lord, His power, the power of His might, of His strength. Father, would you bless the reading of your word to us that we might not only be hearers, but doers also. You delight, Father, in not just those who hear, but those who put it into action. Would you help us to be people of action of your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture tells us there, and we're going back to verse 10, so if you have your Bibles, leave it open there. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We talked about that last week. So we move on to the next part, and it says, and in the power of His might. In the power of whose might? God's might. Not my might, but God's might. Folks, the scripture says to be strong, and according to His word, what power do we have? Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. See if you can pick out of this scripture what kind of power we have. And it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly place, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in those which is to come. Do you see the power that we have there? It says there in that we have the power in Christ when He raised from the dead. So what kind of power do we have? Resurrection power. Folks, don't forget how important it is that we not only know about the resurrection of Jesus, but we claim the resurrection of Jesus and we live the resurrection of Jesus. Do you remember when you were baptized and when we baptize folks here? Whenever they go down into the water, do you remember what we said? We said, buried with Christ in baptism. And do we leave them there? You know, if you wait till the bubbles stop, you're in trouble. But it says, and then what? Raised to walk in newness of life. Folks, we are buried into the death of Christ, but we're raised to walk in newness of life. Why? Because of the power of His resurrection. He's defeated death for us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Resurrection power. Power that exalted Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father, the scripture says. Power that put every being in earth and off of earth under the foot of Jesus. Every angel, every demon, every person is under the power of Jesus Christ. No matter what Satan brings to you, and he can bring some mighty big stuff against us. But no matter what Satan brings to you, every believer has the resources within themselves because of Christ to deal with Satan. But there are two conditions. In order to deal with those demonic attacks, there are two conditions. Number one, the believer's strength must not be in himself or herself, but in the Lord. It's got to be in the Lord. Secondly, we must utilize the provisions that God gives us. He gives us our spiritual backpack, and we are to unpack it and use it. And what is that? The armor of God. That's how important it is that our strength is in Christ and that we use the provisions He gave us, that armor. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 10 through 13 tells us that we can withstand the powers of darkness by the glorious power given to us by the Son of God. So we have resurrection power, and then we have also the glorious power of God's Son. We have the power of God. But we're also told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, that we need to be careful of our vulnerability. So we know this. We have power in Christ. We have the resurrection power. We have the glorious power. And we can sit there and you know, I think about that cartoon that had the genie in it. And the guy wished that he could be the genie. What was that show? Yes, Aladdin. And he wished that he could be the genie. And he says, I wish to be an all-powerful genie. And all of a sudden, he turned in this huge, he says, I have the power. And then all of a sudden, he gets sucked into the bottle, and the guy says, in the itty-bitty living space. You remember that one? Yeah, it's a funny part of the movie. It's a great part of the movie. But here's the thing. We can sit there and brag about, oh, I have all the power. But you better be careful, because we have a vulnerability. We have something that will bring us down to be itty-bitty if we're not careful. You know what that is? Pride. Pride. The scripture tells us that no matter what Satan brings against us, every believer has resources to be victorious in Christ and use the armor. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us to be careful of our vulnerability. It says there in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You know when you're the most vulnerable to Satan's attack? When you think you're not. When you think you're not vulnerable. When you think, oh, he can't tempt me with that. Oh, he can't get me with this. Oh, I'm strong. I don't have a problem there. When we say, oh, I've got this. I know what to do. When we go into our day and we don't pray for ask for God's help, that's when we're in trouble. When you try to handle life by yourself, that's when you're in trouble. That's when you're in danger. And the whole point of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 is this, that when you think you've got it, you don't. That's why we say, Lord, in your strength. Lord, in your ability. So when you depend on God, there is nothing that Satan can do to cause you to lose victory. Now, there's plenty that you can do to lose victory, but there's nothing that Satan can do. You can have pride. You can have doubt. You can have unbelief. But when you depend on God, there's nothing Satan can do. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the very next verse after the one that says, take heed lest you fall. It said there in verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I preached on this last year. The understanding is that no temptation comes to you, but that God does not give you an out. You don't have to say, and you cannot say, the devil made me do it. You can say it, but it's not true. The devil doesn't make you do anything. You yield to the temptation. But with every temptation that's common to man, every man has, oh, I'm the only one. No, we're not the only ones there. But with every temptation, God gives us a way of escape. There will never be a time that you cannot overcome Satan in Christ. But you must depend on Christ. And in fact, God's resources are most available to you when you're weak. When you realize you're weak. When you realize I can't do this. When you realize I need help. When you realize I'm a sinner. When you realize my mind wanders. When you realize I need God's help. That's when we become strong. That's what the scripture tells us. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, the Lord told Paul, when Paul said, I need help with this. You need to help me to overcome this problem that I've got. And God said what? My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul then said, okay, if you're telling me that I'm stronger when I'm weak, then he said, then I'm going to take pleasure in the fact that I'm weak. I'm going to say, God, I'm glad I'm weak so that I can lean on you. That way I can be strong. Folks, we need to come to that place and say, God, I'm weak. I'm not saying to be weak, but realize we are weak and that we don't want to go to those places that we go in our weakness. And so we hold on to Christ. In other words, dear friends, what we need to do is confess that we can't handle the situation. And we can't. Amen? We are weak. We're human beings. We don't use that as an excuse. We just tell it as a fact. But when we depend on God, that's when He handles it for us. That's when God takes over. You just have to know when to fight and when to kneel. Amen? We kneel before our Lord. Here's the situation. Here's how it is. And here's something that I hope and pray that you're going to remember above all things. If you're a soldier in an army and your commanding officer puts you on the wall for guard duty, what is your job? To guard. Your own guard duty, what is your duty? To guard. Do you get it? All right. So if you're on guard duty, suddenly you look out and you see the enemy approaching. What do you do? Should you leave your post, run out there with your gun and start firing at the enemy? Is that what you should do? I hope you're smarter than that. What does the guard do when the enemy appears? Report to the commander. Oh, listen, dear people. If you remember nothing else today, would you remember this? Whenever Satan comes at you, you watch and you see him coming. When the temptations happen, the first thing you need to do is report to the commander. You go to the Lord in prayer. Report to the commander. Turn the battle over to the Lord. Do you remember what David said to Goliath when he ran out after him? Do you remember what he said? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. Here's what David said. Quote from the Word of God. The Lord does not save with sword or spear. The battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. David and Goliath. As he's running at him with the sling, he says, God is going to deliver you into our hands. Listen, folks, when Satan attacks, when temptations come, the first thing you do is report to the commander in chief. Go to the Lord in prayer, and there you need to ask him, God, look at my life. Is there any vulnerability in my life? God, is there any place that you need to cover in your righteousness? Am I wearing the helmet of salvation? Am I wearing the breastplate of righteousness? Am I wearing the belt of truth? Are my feet shod with the gospel of peace? Am I carrying the shield of faith? Am I carrying the Word of God? Listen, with all of these things, we need to understand that God covers our needs. And when we go before God and we ask for Him in as our commander and say, God, you cover me, you show me. You know what that does? God makes sure that you are covered from head to toe, and Satan has no place to get a foothold in you. Are you with me? No foothold. No place for Satan to get a hold. Whenever he reaches, you just slap him with the word. When he gets near you, you shove him off with faith. When he tries to hit you with the fiery darts, they bounce off the armor of God, because there is no chinks in the armor when you wear it. God's Holy Spirit, when we go to the commander, He searches me, making sure that, again, my armor is intact. And then in His righteousness, He tells me what to do. And what's the first thing that He tells me to do? Stand. Hold. Hold. Stand in my righteousness. So I stand then. Fearless and protected by God Himself, and I let God do the battle for me. Now, if you're a little prideful, and I know I'm not supposed to use this word from the pulpit, but if you want to get just a little stupid, you can taunt the devil, and you can say, come on, you know the movie, you know. There's just one good word for that. Well, there's a bunch of good words for that then. We'll go to the next one. Foolish. Dear friends, we stand and let God do what God wants to do. I stand fearless, and God fights through me. Now let's look at the armor. Look at verse 11. We move to verse 11, and verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, put on the whole armor of God. That whole armor has a very unique connotation there. When it says to put on the whole armor, you know what it's saying? Put on the whole armor. Not part of the armor. Don't go in half-dressed. We must have our armor on. Otherwise, it does no good. And listen, that word put on, when you go back and look in the Greek, it means put it on once and for all. It doesn't mean to put it on like a game uniform. Oh, I'm going out now. I think I'm going to put my uniform on. We got a game for the next few hours. It means to put it on and keep it on. It never is to come off. For the rest of your life, there are no vacations from Satan's attack. Amen? That's why I tell you, whenever you go out on vacation, everybody needs vacation. Everybody needs time off. I've never fussed at you for going on vacation. Don't fuss at me for going on vacation. But when we go on vacation, we don't take a vacation from God. Amen? Listen, if you can, get your family in church on that Sunday morning. And if you're out in the middle of nowhere camping, you go, I worship God better in the nature. Then do it. Amen? Are you with me? I can worship God better on the lake than I can in church. There might be times that that's very true, but the question is, do you? Do you? If your boat can become a pulpit, your boat can become a temple, then okay. That's between you and God. But I can tell you this, there are no vacations from Satan's assaults. You better put the armor on. And then when you're obedient to God and you're in His house on the day that He calls us together, I think it's very helpful. So these two, when you put on this armor, two of the most basic necessity of the believers are these. One, depend on the Lord and in His strength, put the armor on and leave it on. Don't be taking it off. I'm going to tell you, just knowing the facts won't help you. Amen? Well, I knew that was dangerous, but I did it anyway. Did you know that I have been told that before I go to Nigeria, and by the way, we have three of us here headed to Rashama this next week. Please be praying for us. But they told me, they said, you need to take several vaccinations before you go. And several meant seven. And then they gave me a prescription for malaria. And before I go, I'm supposed to start taking malaria pills. Now, I have been told time and again, be sure you take your medicine. You got all these vaccines. 2 days before you leave, start taking your malaria medicine. So I have been told, I have the knowledge that when I go to Nigeria, I should be taking my what? Malaria medicine. Now, I can go there and just say, well, I've got it in the suitcase. Is that going to keep me from getting malaria? No. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it. You know why? I don't want to get sick. You know why? I love being with you. And I don't want to be in a hospital bed. Been there before. Don't want to do that again, if all possible. Amen? So you can know what to do and not do it. Friends, you've been given the medicine. Put on the armor of God. So put it on. Wear it. Don't take it off. Put on the whole armor of God. Get fully dressed, or you're like that proverbial ostrich who sticks his head in the sand and his head is covered, but the whole body is exposed, right? And it's just as silly spiritually for us to stand around like that by not being covered by the full armor of God. Now, let's talk about the enemy for just a minute. I don't like to really spend a whole lot of time talking about the enemy. It's a whole lot better to talk about the commander, amen, and all of his strength. But we need to know a little bit about the enemy. Look at verse 11 one more time. It says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that wiles means deceits and trickery. against the trickery of the devil. In other words, he is going to try to take you off your game. He's going to try to fool you into defeat. He's going to attack you. Listen, there's no doubt about it. It's not if, it's just when. But when we wear God's armor, when we put it on, you know what we're doing? We're saying, God, I need help. God, I'm not doing this on my own. God, I am going to depend on divine power, not Gary power. God, I'm going to depend on your power, not mine, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in Christ and in his armor, we will stand. We must stand because Satan is going to attack. Satan is going to come after you. He will find you and he will try to take you down. Listen, he knows where you are. The devil knows when you're in church. The devil knows when you're in worship. The devil knows when you're in prayer. The devil knows when you're strong and when you're vulnerable. You don't need to go out and try to find the devil. Now, you listen to this very carefully, please. You do not need to go out and try to find the devil so that you can battle him. I can guarantee you, he will find you. Don't go looking for him. You don't need to go to those places looking for the devil. Believe me, he will come to where you are. And I think we really need to worry about those people who seek out demons. I think we do. Because they're delving into areas where they have no information and no authority. We need to concern ourselves with the things of God, with the power of God, and with his armor. And if we do, when we wear the armor and we report to the commander will do the fighting through us. The commander will do the fighting for us. We just need to stand firm. The Bible never tells us to attack the enemy. I haven't found it. James chapter 4 verse 7 says that we are to resist him and he will flee. Resist him. That means he comes to us. And when he does, that's when we resist him and he has to flee. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people out there that are saying there is no such thing as the devil. I'm going to tell you, they're in a sad awakening. Amen. Some of these people are saying there's no such thing as heaven or hell, and they are going to be in for an even greater awakening. Some people say there's no devil, he's just a Halloween costume. You know, he's all red, and he's got the little horns, and he's got this long tail, and he carries a pitchfork, and he's really ugly. That's not what my Bible tells me. And I know it's not what your Bible tells you if it's the same Bible I've got. Because God's word tells me that he was an angel, that he's real, that he was a beautiful angel called Lucifer, and he was the greatest angel that God had created, and that he was absolutely gorgeous, that his body was bejeweled somehow. But as a result of the sin of pride, he fell, and God cast him from heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it says that he took one third of the angels of heaven with him, and that's his demonic army, countless angels that are now demons. The question is, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God's word? If you believe God's word, you're going to believe that there is a devil, that there is a Satan. Jesus believed in him. Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus believed in the devil. Several times in the Word, Matthew 4, John 12, John 14, John 16, Jesus mentions him. Paul wrote about him. Peter wrote about him. James wrote about him. We just read that one from James. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, he's real. And the Bible tells us many of his titles. He's got a lot of titles. Prince of this world, prince of darkness, dragon, serpent, roaring lion. 52 times in the Bible, he's called Satan. Do you know what Satan means? Adversary. Your enemy. 35 times, he's called the devil. You know what devil means? Slanderer. Because that's what he does to you before God. He slanders you before the Lord. His job? The Bible tells us what he desires to do, and that is that he desires to pervert God's word and try to usurp the position of God. He's a tempter. He tries to bring the entire world to sin. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He twists the truth. He tries to put false doctrine in those who are trying to follow God's word. He's clever. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He does not put on a red uniform. He does not wear little horns. He does not carry a pitchfork. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that he's beautiful. Be careful. That's only the beginning of his work. We can't even begin to try to cover it all today. I know this, he persecutes believers and he uses other humans to do it. He hinders our service to God. He infiltrates God's church with false Christians. God calls them tares, false wheat. He tempts believers to be self-reliant, to doubt, to lie, to be immoral, and to be prideful. And when he does, we fall, when we fall for it. Satan's army. Look at 12 again. Look at verse 12. It says something about Satan's army there. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm going to tell you, folks, although there seems to be millions of people that are supporting the cause of Satan, our enemy is not man. It is not mankind, but the spiritual principalities that manipulate them. Amen? The spiritual principalities that have duped them into his service. Our battle is not against other human beings, and it's hard sometimes when they are antagonistic against us not to see them as the enemy, but they're not. That's why the Bible reminds us that God loves everybody. Everybody. And we're to love sinners, which is all of us, but hate the sin, which all of us have. Our battle is against Satan and his army of demons. In that second part of verse 12, it says that we battle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And these are all terms that describe what? Demons. Those fallen angels. They are the real enemy. Satan is the real enemy. And they will do anything. Listen to me. They will do anything to get a stranglehold on anything of God. And if you're of God, they want a stranglehold on you. And they will do anything to put you in that position. Now look with me at the next verse, verse 13. It gives us a summation of the battle. All of these things are shared, and then it says once again, therefore, and you know when there's a therefore, you have to look back to see what it's there for. You see, brother, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Hold your ground. The enemy is deceptive. We fight against an incredible force that we cannot see. Amen. Maybe I should repeat that. We fight against a force that we cannot see. And opposing them is not easy. Can I get an amen? It's not easy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. What is our part? What is our part? What does it tell us to do? Therefore, what? Take up the whole armor of God. If the war is as serious as verse 10, 11, and 12 indicate, we better get our armor on and keep it on. You just cannot be indifferent, because even if you decide to ignore it, it doesn't mean that you won't be a casualty of the war that's going on. You can deny it all you want. You can deny the existence of Satan. You can deny the existence of heaven. You can deny the existence of hell. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to come under his warfare, and you're going to be swept away into a place you don't want to be. The enemy, Satan, and his demons are all around. So put on the armor of God. I'm not trying to scare you except to say you better beware. Put on the armor of God. In his armor, you can stand because you can be victorious. You don't have to worry about it. If you're standing naked before him, worry. But you don't have to worry. Amen? Put on the armor of God. His enemies all around. Put on the armor and do what? When we see something going on, when Satan attacks, what are we supposed to do? I said to remember it. Report to the commander. Whenever you have something happen, you're to be wearing the armor of God. You're to be covered so that you don't have any place that Satan can get a foothold in your life. And when you see him coming, you're to do what? You're to what? Three words. Report. Four words. Report to the commander. When you're under attack, you're supposed to do what? Four words. One more time. Remember that, my friends. Remember that. Report to God. Go to him in prayer. Satan cannot succeed as long as our confidence is in God. Satan cannot succeed with us as long as we are living a righteous Christ by wearing the armor of God. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Then it says, in that second part, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. We need to be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? Yesterday was the evil day. Tomorrow is going to be the evil day. What's today? The evil day. And it has been. Yesterday and every day before has been the evil day. Tomorrow is going to be the evil day. It has been the evil day ever since the day that Satan usurped the throne of this world. And it will continue until Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. But the victory is ours as long as we wear the what? Whole of God. The whole armor. God. And as long as when we have a problem, we don't try to handle it ourselves, but we need to what? Report to the commander. This is why it's so important that we wear the armor of God. This is why I didn't just immediately start teaching you about the belt of truth and the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. That's why I didn't go straight into it. I pray that these last few weeks that we've been working together on this have brought you to an understanding that you can stand in victory. You can. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be somebody that everybody knows. All you have to be is a believer in Christ Jesus and put on the armor and let God do the fighting for you. As a matter of fact, when we are humble in that manner, he's probably going to use you more than anybody else. You can stand in victory if your armor is on and if you're standing in the Lord. So many people do not understand that their life is a battlefield. It truly is. And you, dear friends, listen to me. You only have one life. And when your last shot is fired here on this earth, your life goes into the record book. It's done. The scripture says there is given unto man once to live and then the judgment. Once to live and then the judgment. When your last shot of this life is fired, you're done. Have you kept the faith? You can. You can. You can be victorious because God gives you the resources. He gives me the resources. He gives me the strength to win. The question is, are you wearing the armor? Are you reporting to the Father? Are you standing for Christ? You can. Pray with me. Father, we need your help. And all those who know they are weak, confess it by saying amen. God, we have been given by your spiritual wisdom armor to stand against the wiles of the devil. God, would you help us to put it on? And Lord, in would you give us in your mercy and in your grace weeks to look further at this armor that we might be able to understand it better? But Lord, I pray that no one would wait, but that as we look at these things, they'll look at your word and start wearing it now. And God, that we would be able to stand. God, we ask for your help to put the armor on. To have our strength in Jesus. And whenever we're attacked, to report to you, our commander. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity in a quiet moment. Would you pray? Right now, would you, if you haven't been wearing the armor, would you put it on? God's truth, it starts by knowing it. God's truth. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, the breastplate of righteousness. Would you put his righteousness on by asking for his forgiveness? Your feet shod with the gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got to know it. You can't have God's peace without his truth. The shield of faith. Will you trust God? Will you take up the sword of the Spirit, his word? You can't wield it if you don't have it. And prayer. Will you be watchful and persevere? Ask God right now to help you to put this armor on and never take it off. And when you find yourself without it, get it back on. Don't stand around and look at it. Confess your sin and get it back on. If you this morning need to rededicate your heart and life to the Father, which I believe all of us do every day, right where you're sitting, would you ask God to strengthen your resolve? Would you strengthen your trust? Would you put on the armor and stand for him?